From Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Punters Postmortem, a complete wrap of the weekend's racing and the chance to have your say. Let's get into it.
Three Group 1s on the weekend up there at Doomben Stradbroke Day. What a performance it was. Corey Brown back with a bang from Singapore. He sort of says, I'm struggling to get a winner midweek, but I've had four Group 1s since I've returned. So well done to Corey Brown. Well done to Darren Beedman. And I think after what we saw on the weekend at Doomben, there's no doubt the correct decision had been made to switch the big straight broke handicap meeting from Eagle Farm to Doomben. So let's start with a true Queenslander in Josh Fleming. G'day, Josh.
Yeah, g'day, TK. Yeah, look, full credit has to go to the Brisbane Racing Club and all involved to get all that infrastructure from Eagle Farm over to Doomben to accommodate for that big crowd. 14,000. I believe they got there, which is the biggest crowd since Black Caviar won the BTC Cup there. It was a terrific day. It all went off well, I believe. 14,000 to squeeze into Doomben. They did a great job, the club. Jim Byrne, another Group 1 winner, so two Group 1s for him for the carnival. And, Darren Beedman, his first G1 as a trainer. And a great story. Of course, he rode both the sire and dam of impending Lonro and Nemerson during their sparkling careers, of course. So it was great to see him in the Group 1 winner's circle, and a massive run again by In Her Time. I think she's headed towards a tiara, and look, if she draws the gate, she's going to be very hard to beat. Her last two runs in defeat have been outstanding. So she deserves a change of luck, Ben Smith and the team, and hopefully they can get that in the tiara. I'm sure she'll be very hard to beat as long as she draws a better gate than what she drew the other day.
Josh, I think that was one of the real big shocks of the weekend, the fact that that crowd, and Eagle Farm is noted that people like the facilities there, they like the atmosphere there, they actually turn out in their numbers at Eagle Farm, that they weren't expecting a crowd like 14,000. And I know he doesn't want to take all the credit for it, Josh, but I'm pretty sure Ronnie Duffacy is saying they all came to see him. He joins us on the line.
Well,
g'day, Duff.
He'd have RSI of the wrist then if you're signing all those autographs.
How are you, Ronnie?
Yeah, g'day, TK. It was a good day there. I was surprised with the crowd. They really rallied the Queenslanders and got behind the meeting. It's been a lot of controversy over the last month or so, but the big day unfolded very, very well. News this morning is that the Hong Kong Jockey Club have denied Tommy Berry permission to come back to ride Chautauqua in the Everest.
Ooh.
No love lost there. They've got a Saturday meeting on that week, and he's going to be contracted to John Moore over there. So that's a little bit of a shock for Tommy Berry this morning.
We might try and make contact with him later on in this hour if possible, and we'll find out that. But obviously a very lucrative contract for Tommy, and you apply for permission, don't you, Duff? And then you just hopefully it's granted and you get to come back.
They usually grant it if it's a Group 1 race, and their argument would be that they've got a meeting. It's not a Group 1 race. It's only worth $10
million. Yeah.
But they do have a meeting on that Saturday. So I think the Sunday meetings, the jockeys can get back for it. And they want their contracted jockeys there to stay for the meetings. Although he's not contracted to the club, he's contracted to John Moore.
All right. That's unusual to have a Saturday meeting, isn't it?
They have about three, four or five.
Oh, it's bad timing for Tommy.
Terrible timing. Terrible timing.
Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au. Good morning, buddy.
Yeah, good morning, TK. Good morning, Ronnie. Good morning, Josh. Well, there's crook yesterday, Tommy. I'd say he's just relapsed after that.
He's gone for the vomit bag.
He's probably locked himself back inside that clothes dryer again after hearing that news. But, as Ronnie said, they give you permission if it's a Group 1 day. It's only it'll be the biggest prize money race in Australia, but they said nah. No, it doesn't fall into our classification. So you're working over here now, young Thomas, and you'll be required to submit to our rules.
Yeah, $10 million buckaroos. I don't think they'll have any trouble finding a jockey. Obviously, Dwayne Dunn does the riding for Chautauqua down in Melbourne, and Tommy always did the riding for Chautauqua up here. Dean Lester joins us from Melbourne. G'day, Dino.
Hello, TK.
That's normally how it works, isn't it? You think Dwayne would be straight on?
Yes, he's got no commitments. I'm sure he'd be happy to give up his Caulfield Guineas ride that day to go up for $10 million.
It would be nice. And Mornington yesterday, and it was a heavy track, mud going everywhere, mate.
Yes, mud going everywhere. Maiden 64s. It was pretty. It's a far cry from the days of the Queen's Birthday Monday at Flemington, where we used to have winter championship heats and stakes races. The public holiday Mondays are a thing of the past, really.
Yeah, but that's counted as a Metrop meeting, isn't it, at Mornington
yesterday? Yeah, they were running for city money and it was part of the premiership, but gee, the horses were far from city grade.
Yeah, well, times have just changed, haven't they, with the public holiday used to be that big focus on racing.
Yep, absolutely. Don't want to pay double time.
Yeah, which is good. And did you survive the weekend on the punt, mate?
I did, actually won on Saturday, so beautiful. It was more than survival. It was good.
Good. And let's have a look at this Stradbroke, Josh. It was just, well, Impending's always been one of those horses, but now becomes a very valuable three-year-old colt. Sat 4 and 5 wide. Now the dry track suited this horse and will probably race on next season and be... Well, have some big targets, all the features, I guess.
Yeah, look, he did a great job. He was 3 and 4 deep. I think he had cover early, and then he was flushed out 4 wide down the side to make his run. He was able to finish home over the top. Look, a lot of hard luck storage during the day. In her time, did a great job again off the bad gate. She worked, and she shot to the front, just got run down. Look, great run, clearly innocent. Had to go back from the bad gate, back and wide and hit the line well. Counter-attack did as counter-attack does. He missed the kick. He was back and he hit the line well. So, look, some good runs behind Impending. But, the horse that deserves a change of luck is in her time. She's had no joy at all. Her two runs up here in the 10,000, the Stradbroke, I believe they'll push on towards Attached TR, and that's at 1350 at Doomben as well. So hopefully for her sake and the owners, Ben Smith and co, they can draw a gate with her and she'll be hard to beat in that race.
Yeah, just with Impending, Duff always has threatened to win a really, really good race and has always sort of been, back me next time, but got under my guard here.
I had something on him in the Kingsford Smith. I tipped him in that and I should have been a little bit more forgiving. It's the first time he'd been on a dry track for a long while, and he certainly reacted to that. And the timing of his preparation was perfect. He's always been a horse with ability, and he got the job done. I really think the second horse should have won. She just raced no cover the whole way and thought Yendel may have pressed the button a little bit too soon there on the point of the turn, and she was just on jelly legs there the last 20 metres of the race, which cost her the race, I'd suggest. And good project was good. He just couldn't get going with his weight, and counter-attack, the slow start was costly for him, but a good effort from the winner. You can't take anything away from him.
After Saturday, boys, is the line that we've put through Eagle Farm and the form become darker?
Well, it has to be. You had Religify. He was beaten 12 lengths last start. Capital Gain beat 9 lengths, Impending 8.1, Shocking 10 lengths, Chiquente, I should say, 10 lengths. So there's 4 winners from Eagle Farm that were all beaten 10 lengths.
And but Melody we knew that, didn't we, Josh? We knew that was going to happen. I mean, that was quite a unique track surface that we raced on at Eagle Farm. It was a heavy 8, it was a shifter, and there was no rain in the previous 7 days and no irrigation on that track.
Yeah, look, it's there for all to see. The form hasn't held up. Obviously, Melody Bell getting beaten in the Atkins, and horses who were beaten on that Eagle Farm track are coming out to win there on Saturday. It sort of stood out a bit, didn't it? Religify, as you spoke about, Duff Chocante in the last, Capital Gain himself. So, it's all there. You can't really argue with it.
How didn't Jim Roberts get mentioned in the Queen's Birthday Honours list? It was just too late?
Yeah, well...
he's done. he should fairly... They should erect a statue to him in Brisbane.
Yeah. Look, that track's been incredible. I know all the negativity around Eagle Farm, but look, on the positive side, Doomben's been unbelievable here the last couple of years. And look, it had already had a busy workload and only got busier with extra Group 1s being run there. And it stood up enormous. I mean, I guess the obvious change going to Doomben was it's a tighter track, big fields. There were some hard luck stories. We know that there were horses back in the field that never got a crack at them. But that surface has been incredible. Jim Roberts and his staff, that's why he was the reigning track manager of the year. He fully deserved it, and they've done a wonderful job there.
Clearly innocent, Duff, just the big weight, bad barrier, went back, raced home well for third. I think Huey jumped off and said... Yeah, the shorter straight needs a bigger track and better suited a bigger track.
Yeah, little bits and pieces that were against him there, but he did race very, very well. He just couldn't pick up and sprint with that little bit more weight on his back like he did at Eagle Farm at his previous start.
What did you make of the Stradbroke, Dino? Did you have some
thoughts? I thought he was huge, clearly innocent.
He was great, wasn't he?
Given the star of the preparation, if you'd say he'd do what he's achieved in the last month or so, I think they'd take that every day of the week, and that run was great. One I was a little bit keen on was Ullman, and he got about four or five mentions in the stewards report. He just kept getting sort of checked and not getting any momentum at the right stages of the race, so I'd be forgiving of him.
Yeah, do you think he could have won?
I'm not saying he could have won, but I think he could have been right in amongst it. If he goes on to something in the next couple of weeks, he could bounce back to form very quickly.
So that's the intention. You think just he'll stay in training?
Oh well, I think he's only had three runs in, so he could certainly go around again.
There were a lot of horses. I know this is a generalisation. There were a lot of horses looking for inside runs. It just appeared to me, Josh. Looking for inside runs, tracking behind leaders that just never, ever, ever saw daylight on the weekend.
Yeah. We'll try and mention a few, but I might miss a few as well. Technical Advantage was an obvious one on the first. I know in race two, Nancy still can't get out. Miss Cover Girl, Sony Legend. If we go through, we'll probably miss a couple that were unlucky. That was just how it panned out with big fields on that tighter track, and like that mile start, it claimed a few victims as well. They've got to get on their bike early from bad gates, get into that first turn. Melody Bell was in that speed battle, and she weakened late. The Guineas claimed a couple of victims from bad barriers, had to go forward. Silfeed was one. But look, in the Guineas, that was a wonderful win. Sheld Sonic, I know the speed was on, but he was a long way off them at one point. He was about five lengths last, I think, but he tacked on and he rounded them up, and he was impressive in his win there.
Yeah, I think Jason Coyle and Huey Bowman, they've all got high praise for Sal Sonic, winner number two now, and we'll go for a spell and probably aim for the riches. So we saw, Dino, your man, Kieran Maher, Queensland Derby, Ruthven, looked to be, that was a special win.
Yeah, it was. the best thing about what's happened the last 5 or 6 weeks, this horse has toughened up, I think, with the trips away. I always had him just a little bit sort of soft, and he ran well in the ATC Derby, and I think the Adelaide Derby he should have won, and Saturday he got the right run, and it was good to see him put a race away, and he won it very well.
I wasn't too sure when he was being stoked up by Huey at the 800. I didn't know whether, he's into this and it's not responding, or...
Then he actually checked back at about the 1100 to get out three wide, and it was a good move because that long shot dropped out about 100 metres later.
Yeah, Dazzlem Sid,
It could have just cleaned him straight up. So he got out and going at the right time in regard to that horse anyway.
Yeah, and it was a long, sustained burst of speed, wasn't it?
Good gallop, yeah.
It was a great ride, really. He knew what was in front of him, and he knew they were all horses that weren't going to be figuring, and he went from the box seat to say, I don't want the box seat anymore. Because of that, he could just see those horses about to come back in his face. I thought it was a great piece of vision from Bowman there.
Yeah, so in a way, it was a ride that took everybody else out of the chances, in a way.
Yeah, he kept his momentum going.
Yeah, it was. And how special, though, is Ruthven? Like, we're getting carried away with that? Or, what sort of heights do you think Ruthven can now reach?
Oh, I think he could be a player in a Caulfield Cup.
Yeah.
He should be favoured or anything, but he could be a player.
Yeah, he looked that good, didn't he?
Yeah, well, I just like the way that the racing's really improved him.
He looked good.
Josh? How are we looking for Ipswich on Saturday? It looks like rain there all week.
Yeah, the forecast is not spectacular. It's just some light rain here at the moment at the Sunshine Coast. The worst of the rain at the moment's been south of us towards Brisbane, and then Gold Coast over the border. They've had a stack more rain around Lismore. That's the last thing they needed there. But I don't think there's been a huge amount out at Ipswich for the time being. I'm not sure that... Look, the 1350 shoot there has been out of place since the last flood. We haven't had a 1350 race there for some time. I know the Eyeliner and the Gay Waterhouse are supposed to be 1350. I haven't been told of any distance change. So, look, if they do run that over 1350, we haven't had a race over that distance for some time.
Look, there's some rain predicted there today, but there is no rain for the rest of the week leading up to the weekend.
I think it might be more coastal, yeah.
Yeah, so it's definitely more coastal. They're looking at maybe 1 mil Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So the big crowd will will turn out. It's quite a unique day, the old Ipswich Cup. Are you going, Ronnie?
No, I'm not going, no.
Crowd will be a lot wetter on the inside than the track will be.
I wonder if they found Mr. Forex down after they pinched him.
he was kidnapped there 1 year. Yeah. Mr. Forex, wasn't he?
Are you going, Glenn?
No, I'll be passing, TK. No, we're scaling down our coverage of Brisbane this week. Ronnie and I will be at Rose Hill to reignite ourselves with the Sydney.
And then it's the Tats Tiara the next week?
Yes, correct. That's a Doom. Josh Parr will ride in her time. Okay. He'll be back on there, and we've solved the Chautauqua problem. Brett and Abdullah said, I'm free.
Yeah.
The gun.
Yeah, I don't think that is really going to be a real issue there. Prompt response was really good in the group two in the Dane Ripper. Tommy Berry, very relaxed. It was a strong finish, wasn't it?
Yeah, she's been just so good all the way through without winning, and she deserved that, and she got a beautiful ride. She's usually riding the speed and being a sitting shot for horses. She found the, as we call, the Queensland speed there on Saturday, and she appreciated just sitting a couple of lengths further back, and she got the job done. So she really earned that one. This Tats Tiara is going to be an absolute beauty. Nearly be impossible to do the form on. There's going to be chances galore.
Well, you've got to make the field, don't you?
Mm. Yeah, that's what it could get to that. It could get to that. It's going to be big in numbers.
And we've got a market up there, Glenn, yet?
No, there's no nom. See, it's a funny situation, TK, because there's no advanced noms for the Tats Tiara. It'll just be a standard sort of Saturday nom on Monday, pay up on Wednesday race. So we'll put a market up, an all-in market up on the Monday afternoon. After we get the first noms next, well, this will be up this time next week because now we're on Tuesday, aren't we? Yeah.
Right. So the next futures races that are up are probably what? Royal Ascot.
Yeah, Royal Ascot, and also the big three that have been up for a while in Melbourne. We had a customer the other day, 20,000 on Winks at twos on, to win the Cox Plate.
He was on the Terps, surely.
Hold on.
Yeah.
20,000 on at twos on.
Yeah, $1.50.
All in.
But if she doesn't nominate, he'll get his money back.
She's
you don't know, TK.
So kind of you.
Well, there's no noms for that race at the moment, and we just put it up. You know, it's like the Everest at the moment. That market's up, and if you don't nom for the Everest, you'll get your money back in that market as well.
Jeez.
it's not a crime to have a bet, TK, is it?
No, I understand that. I just like to see them go around if I'm on.
Well,
if I'm having 20,000, I'd like to see it go around.
We're offering a service, and they've taken up the opportunity to use that service.
I understand you're only throwing out the hand of friendship like the Salvation Army, right?
Yeah, want to get on early. There's only 4.5 months to the race.
Yeah, and could go off.
Could be a queue. Mm.
If she wins first up and second up, she's still going to be $1.40.
Well, she was
$1.40 on the day.
She was $1.40 last year, wasn't she?
Yeah. Anyway, good luck to him. I hope he collects.
Well, if he's got 20,000, he probably knows what he's doing. Or either that, or he's got too much money.
He might have a bill to pay in October.
Yeah.
didn't have the 30, only had 20 of it.
Does he trust himself with the money?
We'll be taking your calls on 13 53 53, and also text messages. Keep them coming on 0419 767 272. That sort of does blow me away a little bit there, that 20,000. On Winks at $1.50. The JJ Atkins.
TK, there was one worse. I know we're not doing a racing show, but a customer had 500 on the West Tigers to win the comp in the NRL the other day before they played.
Yeah. Any chance you can give that bloke my mobile number?
Already got mine.
Is that all right?
Yeah. He's got mine and my favourite restaurant.
JJ Atkins, Capital Gain, The Outsider. This is a good story. A $19 chance for trainer Paul Butterworth. Jimmy Byrne, again, at the top of his game. No spring campaign. The aim's going to be the ATC Derby, or maybe what, the Hong Kong Derby, Duff?
It'll be only the Hong Kong Derby if they sell him. He's had excuses all the way through, and he was strong. He was very, very strong. They've had wraps on him from day one. In fact, he was hardly a long shot, but on the win, he went up second favourite.
He was, I think you'll find, from Wednesday through to Saturday, he drifted from $7.50 to $21. Yeah. It's exactly the same as Clearly Innocent in the Kingsford Smith. They were hard in the market all, and this is a race that he's been hard in the market for a month.
Yeah.
It's not as if he's just burst on the scene out of nowhere. And for, you know, the 2 days leading up to the races and the day of the races, he was friendless.
Mm. nice filly, that second one. She's not much to look at, but she might be something. Aloysia.
Yeah, 1,000 Guineas Oaks filly, for sure.
Yeah, looks a staying type, and you got something to work with her coming out of that race.
And Kieran hasn't had her that long, so fair chance he'll
Shannon says, guys, Aloysia was very unlucky in the Atkins. I think she's a 1,000 Guineas Oaks filly. Cheers, Shannon. I think we agree.
With Shannon.
Yep. No argument.
The Snowden horse didn't go too bad in that race either. He covered a bit of ground.
He was wide, wasn't he?
There was a couple of things there that sat wide and kept going. So whether or not that was any great disadvantage, as long as you were travelling and keeping yourself in the race.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it was any disadvantage being out on the track a bit.
And another quick one, Dino, for you guys. Question for Dean. Plain Seal from the Darren Weir stable. Is he a Caulfield Cup horse?
Not sure. I'm not sure quite what he is. So obviously, we didn't get to see him Sunday in the Swan Hill Cup when he was scratched. I believe he's going to run Saturday at Moonee Valley. He's good. I don't know if he's going to lengthen that out to 2,400, though. He might, about 2,000 might be his limit, I reckon, but we'll see.
All right. And a quick one for Glenn here. From Glenn, good morning, guys.
Often write in the question for myself. It's the only way I get a word in. Jono, settle down.
Well, Glenn, this is what you've asked yourself, okay?
Yes. Are you for real?
When the tab fixed odds opened for Flemington, it said Savarare opened up at 460. However, I was checking quite regularly. I could only see 360. Why do they only show tote pool and not fixed odds pools as well? Be great if there was more clarity. Also, if the pools from New South Wales and VIX are different, why do fixed odds fluctuate the same? Kind regards, Glenn. Well, they're separate markets, Glenn.
Well, they're separate markets. The paramutual markets are controlled by different governments. One's controlled by the Victorian government for Victorian account holders. You don't have to live in Victoria to have a Victorian account, but it's also the super tab pool, which gets pooling with other states. And why is it different in New South Wales? Completely because of that. One is a New South Wales paramutual pool. One is a Victorian or slash super tab paramutual pool. And what was the other question about why can't you see them different? Well, on the website and on the app, it's got fixed odds and it's got tote odds.
Yes.
They are different. They're listed as different.
Yeah. That's it. He wants to know why you can't see the pool for the fixed odds. How much money's involved in the pool of the fixed
odds? Because it's sensitive business information.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Other bookmakers on course don't have their holds on their board, do they?
No.
At one stage, I thought they were all four showing what they were holding there. In one meeting I was at, so I don't know what happened there. So they do hold a lot of money though, Glenn, don't they?
They do, Ronnie, on different days. There are certain meetings there they don't hold a great deal of money on, but there are quite a, put it this way, a lot of midweek meetings they'll be holding more than the paramutual, put it that way.
All right, and just a quick one from Eagle-Eye Phil. I wonder how Eagle-Eyed Phil is on this one. He said Winx was $1.80 last year on the day, Cox Plate Day.
Yeah, she was.
No,
she wasn't. She wasn't short. She was, I think, short on the paramutual, but...
$1.80 fixed. There you go. If only we knew.
Get her record up.
Yeah,
we'll just go to RSPs.
We'll work that out. We'll double check. No reason to doubt you, Eagle-Eyed Phil.
No.
Well, you don't get a nickname like Eagle Eye having an Eagle Eye.
And you're just used to it going around at $1.40 or anything like that. I'm just watching the trial here at Rose Hill, boys. Our good mate Nick Ashman had a runner in the trial there, Mad Pirate. Didn't go too bad. Its previous trial finished tailed off, but it got back in its trial here. It looks as though it's got blinkers on today. Made a little bit of ground there, so made me the new war pig.
Find a name.
Yeah. Well, he sold it to Hong Kong. He hasn't done too bad.
She was $1.80 on the day.
$1.75
out to $1.80.
Oh, there was a knock for her.
She was on.
Lives up to a nickname. That was a nice trial win, wasn't it?
Yeah, went all right.
Yeah, that's trial number 8, 2-year-olds, colts and geldings. It's 9:33, that means it's news time. Check some of the headlines with Gemma Cunning. G'day, Gem.
Hello, TK. I'm just waiting for my mic to be turned on.
Well, just got a little mic problem. The little red light, that circle supposed to illuminate and it's not illuminating at this stage.
Here we go. I'm on now. Thanks, Jono. Well, just doing the sporting headlines here, TK. Titans forward Jared Wallace has pleaded not guilty to a shoulder charge after being cited for his hit on Blake Ashford in the clash with the Warriors on Saturday. He'll face the NRL judiciary tonight with his quest to play in Origin 2 for the Maroons on the line. Two other players were hit with charges from round 14's action, with Adam Fanua-Blake and Regan Campbell-Gillard pleading guilty and taking the early pleas on their charges. Bulldogs hooker Michael Leisha played his best game for the season in Canterbury's 16-2 upset win over the Dragons. Leisha has been criticised for his lack of spark in attack, but he scored the match-sealing try, with coach Des Hasler defending his dummy half, saying he's responded to the talk in the media and it was great to see him cross the line. Melbourne have moved into the top eight of the AFL with a 104-100 victory over Collingwood. 21-year-old Christian Petrarca led the scoring for the Demons with three goals. And Scotland will head into their test against Australia on Saturday with their first ever top five ranking secured. The Scots arrived in Sydney yesterday following their 34-13 win over Italy last weekend, and they'll be out for revenge following one-point losses in their last two clashes with the Wallabies. This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
Harvey Norman, massive half-yearly clearance with 50 months interest-free. No deposit, no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until August 2021. Huge reductions. Technology, entertainment and home appliances, furniture, bedding in Manchester. 50 months interest-free. No deposit, no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until August 2021. Minimum financed amount $750. Approved applicants only. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Shop in-store and online. Harvey Norman, massive half-yearly clearance.
Go, Harvey, go!
Sky Sports Radio combines with Racing New South Wales to present Showcase Country Meetings. Thursday, Tari includes a Showcase Maiden Plate worth $45,000. Catch the Tari winners Thursday morning at 10 here on Sky Sports Radio.
Don't miss out on your last 2017 pinhooking opportunity at the Inglis Great Southern Weanling and Bloodstock Sale. June 18 to 21 at Oaklands Junction, Melbourne. For catalogues and information, visit inglis.com.au.
You're listening to Punters Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
I love this comes in. This is a cry of desperation. Dina, I'm sick of working. Do your genius racing mind have anything for us today?
Well, TK, I'm sick of working too. This is my second last day for a month, so I've trained right off. But race 5, number 12, Kilts, there's a bit of odds, and I was thinking it could win yesterday in a better race at Mornington, but it didn't gain a start, but it'll win today, I think.
There you go. Race 5, number 12, Kilts. Don't know whether you'd still be going to work or not after that, but good luck to that. Today, let's get to the open line 13 53 53. Josh Fleming from Brisbane, Glenn Munsey, Ronnie Duffesy, and Dean Lester. They are the panel, so they're open to all your queries. Hello, Ronald.
Hello.
Hello, Ronald.
How are you?
Never better.
That's good. Could I speak to Ron Duffesy, please?
Yeah, Ron.
Ron.
Yes, mate.
I'd like to talk about one thing.
Yes.
In 1961.
Yep.
At Sydney Cup in April, between Tullock and Sharpley.
Where you go.
It was a complete bog. It was one of the heaviest tracks I have ever seen. And Sharpley got 7 kilos from Tullock. And Tullock and Sharpley fought tooth and nail, but Tullock wasn't good enough because of the weight, and Sharpley beat Tullock. It then comes to June in Brisbane Cup that Tullock beat Sharpley. What I'm trying to say is this. This was a two-mile advance, and the two-mile advance was the right thing to do. But last Saturday, because of the deterioration of the Eagle Farm track, it was now held at Doomben. The distance on Saturday was 2,200 metres. Mm-hmm. I think it's a disgrace to Brisbane, because when you think of what I just mentioned, Tullock and Sharpley, two great horses, in 1961, fought out the Brisbane Cup over 3,200 metres.
Right, so you would like to see the Brisbane Cup maintained at 3,200 metres. I think that's what Ronald's getting at. It would have been 2,400 metres anyway, Duff, if it was staged at Eagle Farm, and I don't think we've got enough stayers to get around 3,200 metres.
Well, it's not going to... I agree with Ron. I think it should. They should be thoughts of going back to 2 mile. It's just lost its way. It's just stuck there the last day on the last race of the day.
But Ronnie, it would have to come with a massive increase in prize money to attract some decent stayers, wouldn't it?
Well, what's it worth now? 300? Where they're only just listed performers.
Did they have to boost the Sydney Cup to 2 million? Didn't they?
Yeah, look, I'm not saying they have to boost it to 2 million. Just leave the 300 there and put it to 2 mile. You'll get a full field. Look at Adelaide Cup. They have emergencies every year at 2 mile. I really think it's going nowhere, the Brisbane Cup. It was worth a try, but it's not working. That's personal, because, like I say, it's just shoved away. The last race of the day, we just treat it as an open handicap, really. I don't think any stars are going to run in it anyway. So, Chicante's an improving horse. You've got Single Gaze, who's a good mare, but it's... I don't think it's working, the Brisbane Cup at 2,400.
Panel?
Yeah, well, it's a bit sad to see some of the two-milers reduced. Perth did the same, didn't they? It's a mile and a half now, isn't it, the Perth Cup? So, look, we've got the Queensland Cup at 2 miles, but, the quality won't be there either in a couple of weeks. Actually, I'm not sure where that race is going to be run yet.
Well, if it would be the same sort of field you'd get for the Brisbane Cup if it was over 2 miles.
Yeah. Well, look, the Queensland Cup won't be as strong as the Brisbane Cup. No way in the world.
No, but one's 32 and one's 22.
Yeah, correct. But, well, what are we down to? How many two-mile races, obviously Melbourne Cup, Sydney Cup, Adelaide Cup, but they've reduced ours in the Perth Cup, haven't they?
The Duke of Norfolk, 2 miles. Yeah.
Any solution,
the
Dino?
The race we ran on Saturday at Randwick, the 2 mile
Cup.
Race.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree that I think the Brisbane Cup should be 2 mile, but it's not going to be essentially a better race, but I think we need to have at least a few more 2 mile races.
Well, we thought keep that tradition too,
It's quite ironic that the Stayers Cup at Randwick has run on the same day as the Brisbane Cup, and it's 2 mile.
So with all these imported stayers that have been brought down here, why wouldn't they line up for something like that?
Exactly.
A 2 mile race.
Exactly. Yeah, look, I probably
would have.
Well, most of them are lining up at Randwick.
Yeah. All right, let's keep taking calls. Hi, Susan. Good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Well, thanks.
I'd just like to ask Dean, what did he think about Grand Dreamers race, and will it be coming back to Melbourne?
Campaign? He will be, yeah. He's having a week in Brisbane, and then he's coming back down. I think he's going to run at Flemington on about the 8th of July. So it was a bit of a non-event for him Saturday. He went back and the leaders dominated. He had no chance, and it was only 2,200.
A little bit better with the sting out of the ground too.
Well, he certainly is, Glenn, but he did win at Sandown on pretty firm ground. I think down the straight the first time, if he just got ahead of Neverland there and got into that midfield on the fence, he would have run a pretty good race, but he just missed getting that spot. From there, he was just out of play.
I met a few of your part owners on Saturday, they were having a fun time.
There are a lot of them.
Yes.
I found a few of them too.
Yeah, they find you, don't worry.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's good.
Keep taking calls. Robbo's on the line. Hi, Robbo.
Morning, boys. Firstly, I agree with both the Ronnies there. It's a bit like Field of Dreams. You put them on, they'll turn up.
Well, I don't know about that.
It was never a small field.
No, it's never been. That's right. We've never had a Brisbane Cup with 10 runners.
When it was two miles. Yeah.
Now, but the reason for my call is that thank God the Women's Brigade haven't got hold of you lot this morning. Not one of you has mentioned Bernadette Cooper's outstanding tipping performance over the last few weeks, particularly last Saturday.
We're just used to tipping and winners.
No, he said Bernie. He didn't say Glenn Munsey.
No, I
he said
we're
Bernie.
Just used to... Sorry, I should have said her tipping
oh,
us
okay.
winners. Yeah.
Well, not, but a bit of congratulations wouldn't go astray.
Well, they'll make an ad for her shortly. Don't worry about it.
She got the winner of the first, which I can't remember the name and the odds.
Bossanova.
All over Bossanova.
Yeah, then she got Rutherford.
Yep.
And then she got Capital Gain, which paid, what did that pay?
$19.
Yes. And she was, and I was dirty because I backed the previous two starts.
Yeah. Did she tip Capital Gain, did she?
I think she tipped it second.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, what, you want to pull the tail now, do you?
No, she's doing
no,
a fantastic job.
I think she tipped it second.
Well, Lizzie Jelf tipped a 50-1 winner yesterday, paid $19 on the tote.
Very good.
Mm. And had been lapped every start it had.
Mm. No, she's the best.
She's a star.
Yeah, she is an absolute star, Bernie.
Yeah. She, I don't think she's having a weekend with Bernie at Ipswich this week, though. I think she's
not
having
game.
A night off.
She's not game.
She's pretty popular at Ipswich, Bernie. It's a big, big... She'll be out there this weekend, surely.
She's working Saturday. Yeah,
she'll be there on Saturday, but I don't know whether Weekend with Bernie is coming live from Ipswich TK as it has the night before the races.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
Do they have to send twice as many hats to Ipswich?
Don't start, please. Okay. 13:53:53 is the open line. Thank you, Robbo. Bernadette Cooper, outstanding talent, good judge, and tips some horses at pretty good value as well if you follow and stick. Hello, Tony. Good morning.
Good morning. That gentleman is 100% correct. The quicker they get back to the 2 miles of the Brisbane Cup, because I was there when Sharpley beat Tullock in the Sydney Cup.
Oh, my God.
7-9 against 9-13, and then Tullock came out and robbed him in the Brisbane Cup. 2 mile Brisbane Cup. We're looking forward to it.
What was the weight turnaround in the Brisbane Cup, AA?
The Brisbane Cup was 9-12 Tullock. Sharpley obviously copped a 7-pound penalty and went to 8-4. But, you know, with Valerius won the Brisbane Cup, we'd remember Jimmy Cassidy, 4 crowns.
Yep.
The introduction of Jimmy Cassidy. Anyway, the reason for the call, you've already spoken about Ruffin. I think the Jamaica colours will prevail in the Caulfield Cup this year.
Hello? With him? With Ruthven? Is it Ruthven or Ruthven?
It's actually...
That's the future Winks.
They tend to sort of make names with people's names involved in them, don't they?
Ruth.
No, it's something to do with a. I'll get this
Google.
Wrong. Broadway. Matt Hill told me all about it, and it's supposed to be Ruvin.
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 Well, everybody's wrong.
The reason for the call. I think we've got a potential Winks. You there?
Go. You're telling the story, Tone.
Sorry.
You're talking about Egg Tart.
Oh, my oath. I reckon Egg Tart could easily be the next Winks, and that's a big rap, I know. But she just has emulated what she's done. I think she's just a brilliant staying type of mare. And if she starts in the Caulfield Cup, she may even beat Redfern.
They don't often win 4 starts in 4 different states in a row.
No, she's outstanding. She's only got to be 3/4 as good. Well, she's maybe even half as good. Of Winks to still be pretty valuable, but you've already got Ruffin, $18 in the Caulfield Cup. Ginger Nuts is the favourite there at 15 with Hartnell and Humidor, Glenn.
Yeah, and well, Egg Tart's the same price as Ruthven, whatever it is now. I'm looking up a Lord Ruthven here, and he was a vampire. Now, Ruthven's by Doomsday. Was it by Dracula?
Well, what are the bloodlines like?
Doomsday?
Oh, don't start.
No.
Well, there's a Ruthven Street in Toowoomba, and it's everyone calls it Ruthven, so...
Right. We're going nowhere quickly here, boys.
Answer, pineapple.
Yeah. Dean, you started all this. Thank you for
Well, it's a good time to change his name, because it just won a Group 1 race.
Yeah.
Looking at the Brisbane Cup, since they brought it back in distance, the winners are obviously Saturday Chicante, Benzini, Jet Set Lad, the great Jet Set Lad, won the Brisbane Cup, Floria, Moriarty. The 2 mile winners, Yippee-I-O, and, you know, you go back to some great horses.
Yippee-I-O beat Brew, who won the Melbourne Cup later that year.
Yeah, Balmerino won a Brisbane Cup.
Does anyone want to tell you now it's too late? You know, they want to have horses that that need that the time off to get ready for the spring. But it's a if it's 2 miles, it's an automatic qualifier for the Melbourne Cup. But, people say, your horses have got to be in a paddock at a certain time of the year if you want to run them in the spring. Does that interfere with it?
Well, it can, it's all about timing. Sometimes you might think, I can't win a Melbourne Cup. I want to try and win a Brisbane Cup or a Sydney Cup.
Are you saying, Ronnie, that if the Brisbane Cup was 3,200 metres, you'd have Melbourne Cup contenders in it?
Well, you'd be having maybe the fringe dwellers trying to qualify. Viewed won a Brisbane Cup.
Haven't times changed?
Times always change, but sometimes they change for the worse. And looking at the fast four runnings of the Brisbane Cup, those horses are going nowhere.
No, that's true. There's no that you can't. That Lights of Heaven looked to be pretty good, didn't it? It won.
Yeah, she was.
She won on the back end of her career, didn't she?
Yeah
she did. Yeah.
Let's go to Sean. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good, mate. Did you find Impending on the weekend?
I did. Thank you again, Dino. Mate, the amount of tips you've given over the last couple of weeks, I don't know how you're not a millionaire, mate.
No, me too.
He is.
What do you mean, he's not a millionaire? Who said he's not? Oh, Sean
no,
just
I did.
Dropped out.
The ATO listening.
Yeah, he just dropped out, unfortunately. 13:53:53.
Always happens. You get one that gives you a rap and that drops
someone
out.
Someone hangs up on him. Yeah.
The Australian and, I believe, world record for 2 miles was set by Sky Flyer in 1994. Alsbin has set that. I believe the Brisbane Cup should be 3,200 metres. But if you look at the Stayers Cup in Sydney on Saturday, only one horse, four of the four, was by an Australian sire. Why? Well, because we breed for speed in this country.
Yeah.
That's why.
That's it.
The landscape's changed.
We used to just bring them across the ditch. Now we have to go around the world. So. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Simple as that.
And we're doing it.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. Hello, Kurt. Good morning.
G'day, Terry. How are you?
Never better, thanks.
That's the shot. Hey, Ronnie, mate. How are you, mate?
G'day, Kurt.
Yes. Ronnie, you just mentioned my second favourite horse of all time, mate. Yeah. Bell Marino.
Yeah, what a horse.
Whew. Travelled more K's than Birkin Hills, I reckon.
I was talking to BJ Smith about.
Dino, can I just get you, mate?
Oh, it didn't take you long.
Yeah. Yes, Kurt.
He's got him.
Dino, you mentioned yesterday there wasn't much coming out of the Morno meeting, but I just think there's one horse there that I reckon that's in, way up in Saturday class.
Right.
Tell me if I'm just overstating the form of the horse, but a Holy Seal. He's got the Egyptian bullet racing form, which I sort of rate that,
Yep. No, I would say Holy Seal could win an off-season Saturday. The thing is, it's a two-year-old and it beat the older horses yesterday, so she can actually go back to two-year-old fillies grade. So you're right there. She can win an off-season Saturday race. But
it's not bad form around her, is it?
Yeah, it's okay.
I thought Absolutely. She was a three-year-old, Dino.
She's a two-year-old, Kurt.
Jeez.
She's doing a great job.
And two other ones, Dean, mate. I saw one the other week, actually. I think it's going places. The Willy Go, the ex-Kiwi horse.
It was quite a good win at Warrnambool last Monday. Yep, big, strong thing. Handles are wet, too. That's the big thing coming into winter.
Does Galagotis have something set for it or just keep going through the grades?
Through the grades.
Yeah, and ability. It's finally coming good.
I think he had a lot of problems. He was outstanding last week. He'll just keep winning if he turns up like he did at Moonee Valley last week. That was an awesome win.
And two for today, Dean. I don't know if you reckon they're all right. Rimram and Vanatoso, packing them.
Yeah. When I do the preview a bit later, Kurt, I'll be tipping both of those. So you're on the coin.
Oh, good on you. And just quickly for Ronnie, if I can.
Yes, Kurt.
Ronnie, mate, I know you're right into your breeding. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the Trustings and the Hosts lately?
No, I haven't seen much of them, Kurt. Trusting wouldn't serve too many mares. They both wouldn't serve too many, I wouldn't have thought. There's so many stallions around. And, they've got a few that can gallop, but they're not really commercial, so you don't see many of them at the main sales.
Kurt?
Yeah, mate?
Have you got one for Josh? He'd like a query.
Oh, I got one for Josh, just a quick one. That cricket race last Wednesday was pretty good for a Wednesday race up there, Josh, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, well, we get that this time of year, Kurt. The Saturdays get stronger and so do the midweekers. And, she drew the bad gate the other day. She'd drawn inside at Ipswich her two wins and she drew the car park the other day, so that made it a bit harder for her. But, you're right, it was a strong race. I've forgotten who's won it now. There's been too much racing since then.
Yeah, never mind. Thank you.
But she's going well.
We do thank you. He's got something for everybody. 13:53:53. Let's go up the top of the board and say a big good morning to John. Hi, John.
Yes, good morning. Look, I'm a founding member of the Macular Degeneration Society.
Okay.
And there are hundreds of thousands of people with impaired vision, and they cannot read the paper.
Right.
They can't see the print on the screen. Is it possible to get Bernadette Cooper and Ron Duffercy and all these people, when they're doing their commentary, to mention the trainer and the jockey?
Okay. So in the parade ring, John?
To hundreds of thousands.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the guys will try and stay wary of that, John. That would be number one, saddlecloth one, trainer, jockey, and then give your comments regarding the horse.
Well, you know what? There's a chap in Queensland, Michael Charge. He's got the most wonderful commentary for these people that have impaired vision.
Okay.
And he has a very, very short commentary, and he mentions the trainer and the jockey in a split second, and people can then have their $10 bet on whatever.
Okay.
And I deal with hundreds of thousands of people over a long period of time, and they all say he's the marvel.
That's the man we use, Townsville, Rockhampton, Mackay.
He does some miles too up there, Charger. Yeah, he does a great job.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. We'll keep that in the back of our head, John. We'll try and take that on board.
Right, Cricket ran third, Josh, behind Steeler, Diamond and Lyrical at the coast.
Oh, that's right. The Lyricist, was it?
Lyricist, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. The winner was 100-1.
Yes,
so no wonder you remember it.
Yes. There's a little photo of it on the wall. I've got a question for the panel.
Yes.
We saw a horse win on Saturday in Sydney called Natoya.
Yes.
Now, it's won by a furlong. Now,
look good.
It did look very, very good. And I'm asking everyone here is doing the form. When you see a horse win by that far, that's big odds. Do you say to yourself fluke, or how do you sort of put it into the scope of things? How well it actually went?
Well, it was a heavy 10.
Yeah, we know that.
Yeah, well, you've got to keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the Monstar won by 7 as well, TK, and he's had 160 starts.
And he's a fair dinkum swimmer.
Yeah, this was its third run in a race.
I did tip him at $8.50, by the way.
Yeah, well, this was its third start in a race, was going from 1,400 to 2,000, was an emergency in the Queensland Guineas, and it absolutely trotted him.
Very hard horse to approach at a next start, I know that. I don't think there was a fluke in the performance. You don't see him. Like, she sprinted like a gazelle the last 200 metres after sitting wide, no cover. But as TK said, is it just heavy 10 form? I think we can assess that next time she steps out at 2,000 metres on a firmer track. But she'll bear respect whatever she runs in, and every horse has got a price. So I suppose it all revolves around the market.
She might lob at the Sunny Coast for the Guineas, even though she's got to come back in distance.
It was something. You had to see it to believe it, by the way. It just, the last couple of hundred, just stretched out by a big, big margin. And one to follow, guys, if we possibly can. Josh, have you got one to follow?
Yeah, Kurt will be proud of me. This one's a little bit obscure. A horse called Brick Hall that raced at the midweekers at the Gold Coast. It went enormous coming from back in the field and running into dead ends in the straight and hit the line really well. So it'll probably be in a provincial maiden somewhere, but I think it'll go close to winning a horse called Brick Hall.
Brick Hall. H-A-L-L. Correct. There from Josh. Duff, have you got one?
I'm going to keep an eye on a horse. I'm going to ask Dino about it. If it's a wet track at Sunshine Coast Cup or something, I'll fly away. She's a bit of a wet tracker, is she, Dean?
Yeah. I'm trying to think where her wet track form was.
It was. Quick look. She won. She runs second at Warrnambool.
Yeah.
And I see a few. She had a few other. When I did the form on it in that race on Saturday, she looked a wet track at me, but she ran well.
She ran well, yeah. Okay. Yeah, she just needs 2,000 metres now, too.
Okay, so I'll fly away from Ronnie. What about you, Dino? What have you got 2 days to go?
Yeah, today and tomorrow.
Wow.
Yes. Kilimanjaro. I don't know if we'll see him again over winter. He might be a typical Lloyd Williams, just one run in the winter and tick him over. But he's a seriously good horse. He hadn't raced for 2 years, and he was a terrific run at Flemington on Saturday. And he had English Derby and Irish Derby form as a three-year-old. Don't be surprised if he's a player in the spring.
All right. Most of the winners were pretty well found at Flemington over the weekend as well. And what was the one you liked today?
Kilts.
kilts?
Currently a $7.50 chance in race number 5. Okay. 6 race to 6.50 to 7.50.
Glenn, the horse of Gerald White Ryan's that won yesterday. What was
Heliosphere?
Yeah, he could be one to follow as well.
Yeah, he over-raced badly in front yesterday and jumped from that race, well, the Kamentari race, albeit 1,400 to 1,600, but he did over-race quite a lot in front there yesterday and showed a fair bit of ticker, and the form stood up because the horse that he beat, African Rainbow, had run 8th in the race that he ran 4th in, and the horse that run 3rd, Madame Moustache, had run 7th. In the Kamentari race, so a bit of form coming out of that.
Yeah, that was a pretty good win over the mile, wasn't it, yesterday? Huey Bowman coming up with a double as well. Glenn, your horse to follow?
Well, it was Huey Bowman and Chris Waller, but it was in the next race there, Jaunty. So she said the two runs now at Kembla and then yesterday, and I think a bit of time, and you had to be right on the speed there, and I know she was behind the lead, and Huey sort of pushed out and everything, but second start in a race, I didn't think she went too bad at all, Jaunty.
Well, Dino, it's with a tinge of sadness we bid you farewell.
Yeah, it's got a few weeks away.
What are you doing? Going racing somewhere?
probably.
Why not?
Exactly.
Not? Something different. No, I'll be chilling out for a few weeks.
Okay. Well, mate, we well deserved. Our listeners and viewers will certainly miss your opinions over the next few weeks, but enjoy the break, and we look forward to you coming back nice and fresh with plenty of winners for spring.
Good on you. Thanks, TK.
Good on you, Dino. Josh, right. Always good to chat, mate. Great calling, by the way, on the weekend.
Thank you very much, TK. Yeah, much appreciated.
And I hope you survive Ipswich on Saturday.
We'll be right. But it's locked the broadcast. I opened my mobile phone, pinch out of the box there years ago, so I've got to be a bit careful. I'll lock the door.
Yeah, take a crash helmet with you. That's my advice. And Glenn, always good, mate. And Ronnie, thanks for your time, mate.
See you, guys.
See you, mate.